Welcome back to Mishpacha's Take Two. We've had all kinds of people sitting here across from us. Some of them wrote books, others put out music, others are inspirations to Klal Yisrael. Sometimes you get all three in one package. Our dear friend Yossi Hecht has released music. He has put out a book. He has started an initiative. But I think if you have to pin down Yossi Hecht's contribution to Klal Yisrael, it'd probably be a smile. I think that's probably, there you go. Right?
But you say you said sitting here, is it okay that I'm not sitting in the same type of chair as you?
Didn't take you very long to go full into Yossi Hecht mode, and I appreciate that.
So you don't, see, like, you're not even gyrus the line. Like, you just go right over your head. Just like,
would it make you feel better if I tell you I know you well enough that I was expecting you to open with a wheelchair joke? I'm happy you did, because it touches on a lot of conversations that we've had off air and over the years. I wasn't going to go there so fast, and we're going to take a step back in a minute and do a little bit of history. When people see somebody in a wheelchair, I would say especially in from society, where there's a certain level of respect that people have for other people's privacies. They don't really know what to say, and you've gone to great lengths over the last few years to, I don't know, compensate, but even more than compensate, to make things okay, and to don't just see the wheelchair, see the person is a big part of who you are today. So I guess let's start by taking a step back of how we got there. You know, how you get to be that guy who makes wheelchair jokes. And perhaps then we could extrapolate it and analyze a little bit about your real message, the core message.
It's very interesting because, like, I grew up, I went to Darche from kindergarten, you know.
You grew up in Farakwe.
I grew up in Farakwe. Darche Torah is in Farakwe. I grew up like a regular able-bodied kid like everyone else.
Ball player.
Yeah, well, I was tall. I mean, I used to be tall, then I got folded up. So
you're
was
still tall.
Well, I was still tall, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like have this like both lenses. Like I grew up like technically, you know, seeing other, you know, people in wheelchairs and disabilities, and it's like I kind of, you know, maybe was like everyone else, you know, like.
I would think that if you went to Darche Torah, which is a yeshiva that works, it's probably a little harder on sensitivity. You probably were more aware.
Right, correct. So, like, when I was in yeshiva, there was definitely, I remember clearly, there was definitely a few boys in wheelchairs. And, right, Bender always, you know, how he does things, always said, these are heroes. Like, by schmoozing, like, everyone turned to the back, these are our heroes. So I kind of grew up with that kind of.
But you just never thought that you'd be one of those people.
And obviously, Dach is very into, like, you know, Chesed, and, you know, besides, you know, Tayr Im Chesed. So I went to the nursing home every Shabbos, like after the meal, or a bunch of Bachrim, 15, 20 Bachrim, go to the nursing home, you know, where you once get Rabbi Bender to come and to on Hanukkah. We made a birthday party for a Hanukkah party for there's people who had strokes, and they were like, you know, it was like, I don't know, maybe, you know, a 5-10 minute walk from the yeshiva. So like I kind of like always was dancing, and then I came back in the wheelchair, and they're like, you were the one that used to come like dance. It's just funny how the tables turned. But like so I definitely did have a sensitivity, but you never think that you'd actually be the one in the chair. And now, like, now what? Like, you know, it's like, it just, you know.
So just take us through the head. How did you end up?
Oh, so it started about 4 years ago. I still remember exact sequences. I was, you know, Bender is the Rosh HaYeshiva in Arbatuski, deals with the Beis Medrash. So, you know, from Montreal. So we are having meetings with him. And I remember, like, to go for where to go for the next year, Beis Medrash, because I was finishing third year, and after you go to Yisrael. So I remember, like, I was sitting in the Beis Medrash, and then, like, I just had this left leg pain, and I tried getting up, and I couldn't get up. It was, like, the craziest thing. So, like, I called my parents, and, like, they bought crutches, like, and I had to hobble off. I couldn't go. I went to the meeting with, like, I was in tons of pain, like, then I left, and I couldn't, I had to sleep at home, and it was like, it was just, you know, crazy, like, pain. And I was like, you know what, okay, like, I went to some doctors, I put on a boot, you'd be fine, just, you know, put on those leg boots that everyone else, you know, people wear. Then what happened was, it was getting so unbearable that I couldn't, my left leg was literally, it was like dead, it just wasn't move. So I went to my pediatrician, and so I was like, oh no, this doesn't look good. So we went to the emergency room, and they took an MRI. they said, the doctor said, take an MRI of your brain all the way down to the sacrum area. I was like, why are you taking an MRI of my back? It's my leg. And that's when I learned that the spine controls everything. And ultimately, they come up from the emergency room and they tell me, you have a tumor there.
They told it to you directly?
They told, like, yeah, my mother was standing there, and, like, I had some sisters with me. They're Baruch Hashem in the medical field. I'm one boy after seven girls. So I've always been the baby, but many of them are in the medical field. So they're standing me, and I think, like, the nurse practitioner or whatever comes in, the PA comes in, he's like, you have something there, it might be a tumor. I was like, tumor, like, what is, like, what? What's a tumor? Like, I always heard of it. You hear of tumors, you hear of cancer, but you never, same thing I was talking about with the wheelchair, like, you never think cancer, tumor, like, huh? And sure enough, I slept there overnight, and the surgeon comes in and says, yeah, you know, you got to get surgery. It's like taking lead out of a pencil, and, you know, we'll take it out and you'll be fine. I was like, well, I'm just like, it was just hard for a 19-year-old to, like, sure, you know, to bear all this news. It was just like, it was pretty intense. And then sure enough, I had the surgery. It was a hard day for my family. So they tell me it was 10 and a half hour surgery. And then I came out, and I remember, like, my legs just, they weren't working as they were before. Like, I know, I was, like, able to move it a little bit, but, like, and then I had to do rigorous PT and try to get back.
PT, but the prognosis is that you're going to be fine. Just some therapy, but you're not going to at all. You're not going to yeshiva all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, like,
everything's on hold. Life's on hold.
It's funny. I think I went to the doctor, like, the day, like, on, like, camp start, camp by Risa, which Dr. Katara's camp. I was supposed to go in the summer, and I was supposed to go, I think, that Sunday, and, like I set my linen up. I said, oh, yeah, save me a bottom bed because my foot's hurting. And then I called up Ramesh Bender, who was in charge of the camp. I was like, yeah, I don't think, maybe tomorrow I'll come up, like when I was in the hospital. And then I was like, yeah, maybe next week. And then I kept on saying next week. Finally, I realized that spinal cord injury is a very delicate situation. And I actually, I knew I had a spinal cord injury. Most spinal cord injuries happens to males, but a lot of them are, it's because they're, like, you know, very, like, wild. And so, like, it happens from skiing or happens from car accidents. Or a lot of, when I was there in the summer, it was a lot of diving accidents. And I realized that because I was in a spinal cord injury rehab. So I was like, you know, the organization BINA, you know, they refer to, so I think they told my father, you know, check spinal, Mount Sinai has a very good spinal cord injury rehab. So I think you should go there. So, like, I realized, like, oh, I have a spinal cord injury. Like, this is, I still didn't, like, want to believe it. And then, sure enough, I had to go back for two more surgeries because of infection. That's when I realized infection was a real thing.
So you didn't go to camp even to visit that summer? Or not at all?
I was
just
in the
zone of trying to get better.
For 3 months.
So you went one day from a healthy person to an unwell person?
Unwell? You calling me unwell?
I'm not calling you. I'm saying at the time, you were what people might consider unwell.
Right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Correct.
As in not well.
Yeah.
Okay. Just clarify that. So you're going to
it happens to me, like, I remember calling my Rav, I dive in Frakra, Moshe Brown, and I remember calling him, and I said, what's my avoda?
I was going to ask you, did you have your yeshiva bachur? You probably had some spiritual resources.
Right, I had some spiritual resources, so I called Rav. Well, I always had spiritual resources because I had my yeshiva, right? Bender, Abatuski came the day after camp, the Mamish camp, and he did, like, Arisa is, like, he's very into camp. The day after camp, he came. He was there. The day after camp, he came.
So you called the Moshe Brown, yeah?
Yeah, called Moshe Brown, and I said, what does Hashem want from me? What's the? He said, to get better. I said, and then? To get better. And it's like Ramesh Brown is one of the biggest type of in America, and, like, he's telling me this. That means, like, wow, like, I have to work, and I worked hard, and, you know, I worked very hard, you know, in therapy, trying to get back on my feet. And then to fast forward where we are today, why I'm not walking, is because I had to get, the tumor grew back not once, but twice. I had two more surgeries.
You're going for regular tests, and they would tell you?
So I would go for regular MRIs, and then they tell me, oh, the tumor grew back, so I had to get another surgery. And then they were supposed to do chemo radiation, but I don't know, the oncologist over there, like I went to a different hospital, and the oncologist, like, oh, you don't want to do radiation because it's going to ruin your spinal cord more because it's so delicate from three surgeries, because I had two infection surgeries also. And then, so they said, now that by the time I already came back for another MRI after that fourth surgery, the doctor, it already came back another time. So I had to do a fifth surgery. And after the fifth surgery, with radiation and chemo, so by that time, you know, the physical therapy went to kind of a back burner, if that makes sense.
I guess it makes sense. Now, at the same time, while we're talking about such happy stuff, you underwent personal tragedy in your life, nothing to do with the illness, right?
Correct.
Suddenly?
What are you referring to?
You lost your mother.
Yeah. So just to give you, just to see who she was.
It's a lot to process.
Yeah, it's a lot to process because during that 3 month stay that I was talking about in the beginning, she did not miss one day. One day out of 3 months. So that's from what it was, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, or even before that, all the way through Yom Kippur. She was with me on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, she was with me fasting. And I mean, I think whatever I got, my psak, I think I even fasted, I did some therapy or whatever, but I did what I could. And with medicine, I think I took it without water. I don't remember exactly what happened. She didn't miss one day for 3 months straight with me all the time. Yes, you're going to be okay. Yes, you're going to be okay. Infusing in me Simchas Chaim. And then, so it's like, this is the person who got me through this illness. Uh-huh. I come home from the hospital, Sukkot time, and then a month later, she starts saying her back hurts, and she said, oh, it's from the wheelchair I'm putting in the car. At that time, I didn't have a car, Baruch Hashem. Now I got wheelchair cars, and so my back hurts, and sure enough, it was getting worse, and I said, I felt so bad, as like I'm doing this, and she took a CAT scan, and it was lesions in the exact same place where my tumor was, T10. So I was like, wow, this is crazy. And sure enough, as it progressed, I remember by seeing Mashas that year, January 1st, she couldn't come with us because she said, I'm just too sick, I can't come with us. And we all went, and we left. We felt bad leaving her home, but it was like, to see Mashas, you have to go. And shortly after, she was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, and she passed away right before Rosh Hashanah that year. Like, what was the last thing? The last time I spoke to her, she was already the cancer cells already spread to her brain, so her brain was a little not fully there. But she called me. I remember getting a call. And it said, my mother's calling, I have to answer.
She was in the hospital.
She was in the hospital already.
And you were home.
I think I was in, like, on the way to yeshiva or something, and I see that, like, oh, I have to answer this quickly. I remember she was in the hospital. I hadn't seen her. I didn't go to the hospital. It was COVID that time, so everyone was in the mask and no visitors. She said, it was 11 o'clock in the morning. She's like, did you get supper yet? The last time, what's the last thing? All she was worried about is, did you have supper? Did you have supper? And that was what she was worried about. Did you have supper? And it's just like, it just, you know, I don't always, Baruch Hashem, I don't, as time goes on, now it's like making me think about it. It's like, really, it's just like somebody who, especially with my, even before, I was always the baby, I was the one, you know, the youngest, and always taking care of me, I had one boy. And then to lose such a mountain of chesed, of simcha. Her levaya was during COVID, but there was over 1,000 people there, probably. I mean, you know, it was just beyond. It was
I interviewed Meitri Bergman for Mishpacha about a month ago. So Rahman Salon, he was telling me he lost his mother. He was 7 years old. So I asked him some reporterish question about chizuk or strength, and he said to me, somebody who never lost a parent will never understand. And somebody who lost a parent, Rahman al-Tzlan, knows already. So why should I answer you?
He said, serious?
Yeah, he said, what's the point? I'll never get it. He said, Mama, he says, the person that loses a mother, that's, like you said, the source of chizuk, of emuna, of strength, of support, of encouragement. And to be going through what you're going through.
Right, now I never thought about it like this, but like this is, right.
She's carrying you and she's gone all of a sudden. How forgive the question, where did you go spiritually, emotionally? How did you not fall apart?
It's funny because I think I built up, she helped me, obviously, building me up, emotionally during that hospital stay. And even during when she was sick, she said, you know, Hashem's going to take care of me. She kind of was, you know, nurturing me almost to the place where I needed to get to. And I knew if I would let down now, it wouldn't help me. It wouldn't, obviously grief is a very tough thing because no one grieves, everyone grieves differently. But for me personally, this is my personal view, I'd like to share with you, is that there's two roads. I look at it two roads. Either could be, you know, this is what happened to me. The same really goes for the wheelchair situation. Like, you know, I'm doing therapy. I got to a place of walking with two canes, right? Meaning that's a big deal. Meaning from a walker to two canes, like obviously only if, whatever, like however many feet. And I built all that up, building, working hard, months and months and months and months. And then like this, boom, one surgery, goodbye. That's it, all gone. And even that's before that, that's after working another time for by the fourth surgery, I worked, you know, I lost everything, I built it up, got to be able to walk a little, you know, with the walker a lot. And then one surgery, the fifth surgery, bam, done. And, you know, you can either look at it like, Hashem, how can you do this to me? This is so mean. I worked so hard, and now this is what you're going to do to me? You're gonna make me lose everything? That's one way. Or you could say, you know, by doing that, it's really not going to help you. Because what are you going to gain? You're just going to be angry. So you're going to be an angry person. What's it going to help you? And you can either be, you know, because can you change the situation? I mean, I don't know. You're a pretty good writer, but could you bring back my mother?
No.
Can you get me out of this wheelchair?
No.
So nobody could.
I could daven.
You could daven. You could daven.
And that can do anything, but I can't practically, no.
Right.
As a doctor, so to speak, in
right.
medical.
No manner. Doctors could do it either.
We believe in tefillah.
We believe
and
in tefillah.
We believe that the Rosh could do anything.
You're right. I agree with you. I do agree with you. But B'derech HaTeva, it's not necessarily the case. We could daven. Hashem could always change Teva. We believe in changing Teva. Fine. I agree with you on that. However, so the fact is, these are the facts right now. I mean, okay, davening could change it. We could daven tchias ha-mesim. We say it every day, three times a day.
We could daven that there should be new medications and treatments. And
100%. And they're
Rosh Hashanah is in charge of Teva too. He knows.
Right, 100%. I agree with you.
We don't.
I'm
just taking issue with you with the words. That means I believe that I could help you because I believe I could daven. We're just getting into a side hashkafa debate here. I think that I could do. I could help you. Maybe my tefillah will be the one. The Rosh Hashanah is.
Okay, how about right now today? Could you do it?
No, but I could do my part in davening, and the Rebbeinu Shalom could decide to have rachmanis and do whatever he wants. Like you said, yesh me'ayin. Just like he could make it happen in 1 second to lose, he can make it in 1 second to gain. And we've seen nisim in our life.
I agree. Okay, so let's daven for nisim. How about that? Is that
I do.
Okay, so daven for nisim. But, okay, yeah. Anacharami, I'm not, I agree with that 100%. I guess you just have to bring
Yisif
it out.
And the Vele.
Yisif Chaim and the Vele, yeah, that's right.
Right. Okay. We could do that.
Okay, but the fact is,
I'm just reacting to the comment you made. I
understand, but
let's move on. Yeah.
Okay, so the fact is that right now, currently, right now, I am in a wheelchair and right. I can't change that.
Right.
Tefillah maybe can change it, but right this second,
the point you're trying to make, I get. That means right. You made a decision that right now I don't see a way that it's changing.
Right.
Go on.
So now, do I just be upset about it, depressed about it, or do I say, it's really not going to help me to be depressed about it because no one cares. And maybe people care that people are sad for you. And obviously, Yassim, a crippled Yassim, even more people are sad about. But, like, at the end of the day, this is the facts. Like,
but, okay, this is a maturity beyond years because Rahman saw many people suffering, with some crippled. Some Yosayimim. I don't know too many. Like a crippled Yosayimim as a brand. But they don't think this way because I don't think they have the time to think. They're broken people. So do people, I think people care to a degree, but they still want sympathy or they want compassion. So it's worth it for them or not worth it for them. I'm not judging. But look at the world. There's a lot of unhappy people. And I met you not that long after you went through this double right. blow, this luck of a book of fly. And your smile was, you know, you lit up a room with your smile. So it can't just be that. It was okay. It was obviously an active decision that whatever you saw in your mother, you're going to reflect that.
See, it's a very hard to answer that because you bring up a good point. I think maybe the what do they call it? The stamina, the energy, the stamina that you build up, you know, helps you in the long run. So I think maybe the stamina I built up from those 3 months, perhaps that like allowed me to, you
on
know.
On a practical level, you're in a wheelchair at your mother's Levaya. You go home from Levaya, who's giving you a smile? Who's giving you chizuk? I intend that you have a father, I intend that you have sisters, but it's not a mother. And where are you going? And how are you keeping, how are you keeping yourself going?
Happens to be during the Shiva, my grandfather, my mother's father, where she got it from.
What is his name?
Rabbi Yishai Yosef. He's been a Rav in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, the first Yad Gezer of Manhattan, for the past close to 60 years. Rabbi Yishai Yosef.
Yeah.
Sif. Sure. So he's been a Rav there for 60 years, and he kind of, you know, she gets it from her parents, this simcha, this, you know, and he always, like, during, I remember, you know, you ask you now, like, oh, how you supposed to, it's, there are tough times, and obviously, you know, I'm not going to say, like, oh, it's so easy. It was very, it's a very hard, it was a big blow, and I remember asking my grandfather, like, about Emunah, and he just, like, you see, like, pure Emunah that you don't get anymore. Like, the old Emunah, the old school Emunah, just like, Hashem's in charge. Believe in Hashem. Hashem's in charge. And it happens to be that I remember after Sukkot, after Yom Kippur, Rabbi Bender, you know, he gave me Psicha for Ne'ilah that year, right after I lost my mother.
Who usually gets it?
I don't know, usually people in wheelchairs. No, I'm not even joking. Like, I remember when I was a bacher, like, they give, and...
Somebody came over to you, Abender wanted to do Psicha for Ne'ilah?
So the Gabbai came over to me and said, Abender, I was like, me? Like, Psicha for Ne'ilah, really? He's like, yeah, Abender wants, I said, who told you Abender wants you? I was like, there's 400 people there. And I was like, whoa, okay. Like, so I'm sitting, I remember standing there, and we say the same, what do we say there? Over and over by Ne'ilah, Hashem, Hashem, Karach, Abachan. And Hashem, you're merciful, you're gracious. And I remember it was really bothersome to me because I remember thinking, like, Hashem Shabrachan, by Yiskar, I was one of the only people that stayed in, and I'm the only person in a wheelchair. So, like,
where am I seeing that compassion?
Where am I seeing that compassion? And not only once, but twice, three times, and we say it over and over. So it's gone to it. So I remember speaking to my Rebbe, Rabbi Dave Kielsen, and a different Rebbe Fetter, and I remember asking them, like maybe could we go visit Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, because I really wanted to ask him this. And I remember sitting there, and we make the trek to Philly. We got an appointment right after Yom Kippur, was Beit Aslanim. And I asked him this question. I said, Rav Bender gave me Psicha for Ne'ilah. Hashem, Hashem, kill Rachel Chana, Hashem, you're merciful. You're not Chesed, you're Rav Chesed. Where's the, I said, Shmuel wouldn't answer me for 3 minutes. You could see the oil of him just back and forth on the table, back and forth, back and forth. And he says, Kirachum v'chanun dos heisa metzius. Rachum v'chanun is metzius. Is this a mug? Is this a table? The same way that this is a mug and this is a table, Hashem is a merciful and gracious God. It sounds funny, but that kind of got me to where I am today. It's definitely, I'm not going to say that, you know, obviously it's a lot of self-work, but that was definitely a big, a very chunk of Musser and raw, also like I was saying to my grandfather, but even so from Shmuel, the God that are telling you, you know, first of all, the silence might even have been more, that he was just like, there was just silence in the room, not a pin drop. And then he said, Rock, he's like, the fact that you got here, he's like, you got here with your wheelchair. That's chesed. And if somebody, you know, honestly, like, you have to be Clay Keeble to hear that, because some people who hear that might be like, oh, what do you mean? You don't know what I'm talking. You don't know what I'm going through. I lost my mother. I'm in a wheelchair. But I feel like, you know, the years of nurturing yeshiva, I think like the yeshiva, like years of nurturing yeshiva and musar and learning, I think that might have helped me accept,
right. Like this.
Correct.
Whether you perceive it, understand it, get it, this is the fact.
Right. So, okay.
You hear Gadol Hador saying those words after thinking, so it hits you. That's amazing.
So,
I can't believe you never told this to me. Wow.
It definitely, you know.
Gave you something to lean on.
Right, it gives you something to lean on. And
okay, so you're moving on, and then I got to know you probably shortly after then, and you were busy with initiatives. Ashiyatza became a big mission to you. Tell me like 30 seconds about that.
When I was talking about in the beginning in the hospital, I couldn't go to the bathroom, so I spoke to my Rebbe Bekielsen, and I said, let's make some sort of initiative just to give me, I need to go to the bathroom. He said, okay, you know what, give me a few minutes. He calls me back. He says, let's do, Shin Shapika says, if you say Ashiyatza Kavana, you won't need to come out to doctors. So we spoke, Darche, my yeshiva, whatever, they said, okay, 200 boys from Kabul, say Ashiyatza for 2 weeks. I got it. The doctor comes in that Shabbos. He says, or the next day, whatever, he says, 6 months, you won't be able to go to the bathroom. And the next day, I was able to get it back.
Wow. Okay, so, and then you said, again, which is very Yossi Hecht, not just Darche 200, let's get the whole world to say
Ashiyatza. I feel a sense of gratitude to Klal Yisrael. Thank you, Klal Yisrael. Thank you. But continue this campaign. Continue saying Ashiyatza. Thank Hashem.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Yitzar.
Klal Yisrael, stop, stand still. Mindfulness, pay attention, and recognize that every single time we leave the bathroom, we have to be Makir Tov every single second and every opportunity. To quote Rav Yaakov Emden, you walk out of the bathroom, Chalal of Chi of the Hodos. Ve'in lo lahamten yoser, he writes in his Mor Ketziah, we have to thank the Rebbe, so take it from Yan right away.
Because of his emunah, and because of the emunah that he's been a catalyst for, Yossi is going to have a total refuah shleima. Will we be able to dance at his Suda Soida with him without any braces and without any crutches and without any walkers?
We started making videos and we started.
But how did you have that, like I said, the energy and the spirit to think that way? You're a kid, like you said, doubly smitten to be able to get up and say, I'm doing this.
Surely, you ask very good questions.
I appreciate that.
I don't think about some of these questions. Where do I have the energy? I think it's just the fact that, like, you know, it's just like, I gotta do, you gotta
music.
Do. Music was after.
You always connected to music?
No, not, I always loved, I love being a Baltila. I love being Baltila. I loved laying, I'm a Balkaire, I love laning. So I did love these stuff. I like seeing Zmiris, whatever. I was never
you,
like.
You composed a song.
So the way it happened, so people said, oh, Yossi likes whatever music, why don't you get singers to come? So, you know, a lot of Shwaki and MBD and Mordechai Shapiro, and one of the singers, Joey Newcomb, came with his friend, Moshe Avigdor, and we were singing there, and my uncle, Rabbi Sif, whatever, always says, Ki Ulevadei Pal Gevuris HaKadoshes, and by in Kriyishma, and Joey sometimes went to Hafter to say whatever, where my uncle taught. So he said, why don't you make a song about you know, make it again like this. So we started just like, I don't know, I had a Shekhila, and I was tuning in, I was saying, maybe do like this, maybe do like that. And Kiyu Levada, Pelagavur, Isakhali Baal Mechamais.
Without any, I think our relationship doesn't even have Khanifa. I think we're very blunt with each other.
Yes.
It's an amazing song.
Thank you. Matzmiya, Matzmiya Yeshua. And then the high part is Matzmiach Yeshuas Hashem sprouts by Rifuis, and the Joshua around says, Rav Chaim Obam heard the song, he liked the song, and he said in one of the videos, by Rifuis, the Joshua around says, Yesh Meyayin, just like the Abishter made the world, Bereshis Bara Lakim, Yesh Meyayin, Abishter's by Rifuis, Yesh Meyayin. So, like, similar to what you were saying about Tefillah before, obviously, Hashem is so it was just, and that song, we made a music video in Camp Simcha, and it kind of like just, Matzmiach Yeshuas.
Doesn't leave your head.
What?
It's the kind of sound that doesn't leave your mind.
Right, so, but it, it gets in the kishka.
I just remembered something. Somebody sent me the video. I didn't know you at all. And I put it on my WhatsApp status. I was so moved by the video. I knew your name. I didn't know much. And you reached out to me. You said, I would love to, something like that. And right. We became friends from that.
Right.
And then we ended up meeting not long after that.
Yeah.
I heard the song. I just
Reichman or something.
Reichman. But Tzvi Blum introduced us in Florida.
Right.
When I met you the first time. Yeah. I felt like I knew you already, really, from that song. And Baruch Hashem, the rest is history. We don't need Shadchanim anymore, right?
Right.
We have each other's numbers.
You want to go on a date now?
We're
doing one right now. Oh, this is a date.
Is it awkward? We're good.
Yeah, we're good. I'll go on a second one.
Amazing. How long do you want to learn for?
What?
Like, go understand Kyle. How long do you want to learn for? Yossi, okay, song, music, and a person your age thinks, like, as their friends start getting married and you start going to chasnas, you start thinking, where's my shidduch, right? I also have somebody, and at the same time, you're aware that you're facing. What's in your head then? You're asking people for brachas to get married.
Terrible. It was a terrible time. Because as it is, shidduchim is a very, very, very rough topic. It's obviously a shidduch crisis, or whatever you want to call, whatever they want to say. There is shidduchim, problem with shidduchim. And I would go to my friend's chasanas, and I would go with a smile and dance, and I was always a little part of me. It was like, am I ever going to get married? And it took a toll. And
it's funny, I was just about a year ago, I met you at a chasna.
Yeah.
You weren't engaged. I don't know if you remember this. And I said, Bishop, about you? Meaning it, full well. And you said, amen. And to me, it looked, again, I don't know you as well as I think I do, clearly. And also, there's a whole other part, you know, like we talk, you know, you keep a smile on your face, but then you go home at night to an empty room, and there's a lot of pain and a lot of loneliness.
Correct. No,
so you said, I mean, the way I felt was that you're ready to go. That means, to me, I guess I was wrong. I guess I wasn't seeing as deeply as I thought I did. You were like, I mean, let's go. Like,
so that's why, you know, public could be, there's no reason to be sad. And I love, but there's always going to be, as you said, when you go home, it's like, okay, now what?
You know? You made jokes, you smiled, you danced.
And then now he went.
It's a nice time.
Yeah, I'm saying it's awesome, it's gewaldic. But like at the same time, to come to your daughter's chasana was engaged was a whole different ballgame.
We'll get there.
What?
Exactly. I want to get there. Last summer you still weren't engaged. And
last summer I was not engaged. And I remember, you know, I went to Camp Simcha, I was a learning rabbi there, I was very geschmack, and then I came home, and I was like, okay,
I want to talk a little bit about that, because you were learning things. You were in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Are in a wheelchair. And people would look at you a certain way when it came to shidduchim, and you told me that you felt, and this is something I would want you to say right here, right now, what would you want people to know? Like, just because someone's in a wheelchair and finish a sentence.
It doesn't mean they're mentally challenged.
It doesn't mean like that you should look right through them.
It doesn't mean that you should think, oh, you're Nebuchadnezzar.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, it's there, yeah.
Now, the other side, as you yourself said, for 19 years of your life, you were blessedly free of this awareness. People don't know what to say. They feel awkward. It feels awkward sometimes to see somebody who's in a situation
where
they don't know what to say. Everybody is just a natural.
Well, also, it happens that there are people who are in a wheelchair and maybe also mentally challenged. That is a reality that exists, but it's not a blanket rule. Like,
it's a little rough on the people in the sense that people feel they don't know what to say. There's a reason people avert their gaze when they see somebody suffering, and it's not always a bad thing. They're just uncomfortable. You understand that? You know,
I do understand.
What I'm trying to get at is that you made it a mission to bridge that gap, that to overcompensate. You overcompensated with your personality and your warmth and your ability to articulate things, just to make it, like I said, we had a chasen last year, there were other people there, I don't know if you remember, and you were just one of the boys. We were having a nice time together.
There wasn't a wheelchair.
Like, I'm curious, did you have that naturally? Was that something you worked on? Did you read a book?
I think I did work on it, because like, I like to be like geschmack and whatever, you know, so like why not make a joke about it? Like, you know, just the jokes was like, I didn't decide that like my mission in life is to be a sit down comedian.
No, you're not that funny. I mean, sit down comedian is a joke. I get it. But the comedian part is sit down. Yeah. You're okay. Cute.
Very good, very good.
You're a sea skite, you're not that. Comedian funny or not, yeah?
Okay, so I didn't decide, oh, I'm gonna make jokes. Like, I felt like it kind of...
I didn't mean the jokes. I meant the... It was just a night.
I think that kind of came in May. Like, I think it, you know, like...
Wow, okay. So, again, you're single, you're in a wheelchair. Shidduch comes up with your Davidson.
Well, start before that. I mean, we could start, I could be vulnerable here. Before that, I wasn't... The people... there's beautiful organization that deals with people with physical challenges. You know, so all of a sudden, oh, disability, pair them together, it'll be perfect. There's a person inside the wheelchair. There's a person inside disability. Why should it be? It's a tough topic because on the one hand, an able-bodied girl is not going to be set up with a disabled boy and vice versa. Like, just unfortunately, that's how our shidduch works. Like, oh, the people nick shidduch for the stupidest reasons. You know, how that's how it is today. So, like, it was very tough. And, like, I was like, this is what I'm dealing with. Like, I didn't really know where to turn to. Like, I was kind of empty-handed.
And then
what happened was I was going out with people that just weren't my team. It was just like, okay, disability, so you're gonna be good. But it was no shaykes. So I said,
as much as you wanted to get married, there was a human being dimension to it. You weren't being mevata. You weren't overlooking that emotional connection.
Yeah, because I have so much to offer. So I felt, and like, why should I, like, you know? And then. I get a call from my Rebbe's wife, Mrs. Kielsen, that there's here's about a shidduch. So I said, okay, great, yeah, like some like, yeah, let's go for it. So I go out, and sure enough, it was my soon-to-be wife. And what happened is that she saw one of my videos, and she's like, oh, you know, maybe that's someone that I would want, that would be good for me. Maybe I would date him. And sure enough, she reached out to my Rebbe. Can I, you know, go out with him? And so, you know, like, it just goes so funny to see how you go from being in this precarious situation, like, am I ever going to get married, to, like, Hashem, like, handing me, literally just going like this to you. Like, don't worry, I got you. I'll be okay.
And if Rachum V'chanan is a Metzias.
Rachum V'chanan is a Metzias. And you could say, oh, how's Rachum V'chanan? You're still in a wheelchair. You're still... He got me a shidduch from out of the blue. He's saying, Hashem, keep on doing your initiatives, because without your initiatives, this never would have happened.
The dynamism and the charisma of Yossi Hecht, I'm saying it once, I'm going to deny that I ever said it. But you're very charismatic. You're a very, very lovable person. Just exploded off the screen. So that was something that she sensed. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo put you in that situation that you were able to share what's inside of you.
Correct.
Become a chassan. Baruch Hashem. It was very nice. I had you at my daughter's chassan the next night. It was a high point for me just to see you like that. And you come see a chassan. And somebody described it to me, your chassan. And I want to talk about this for a moment. They said every single young person with a disability in Klal Yisrael was there saying, I could be
that
too.
Who told you that?
Davi Safir.
Davi Safir.
Yeah. If we're going to talk about Davi for a minute, he doesn't love that. Just say his name right. Don't say Dovi and
don't say
Zafir. Davi Safir.
Davi Safir.
Read his articles on Mishpacha.com. His groundbreaking Pulitzer Prize worthy articles.
Pulitzer, really?
I think so, no?
Yeah, of course.
Did you read his stuff?
Of course. You're Janine Miller.
But everything, really. He's,
did you read everything? You just say you read everything.
I read everything. He wrote. Okay. He's doing something great. He's doing something different. I'm a tremendous fan of his writing. And they're looking at you and they're saying, I could be that. Here's a guy who, like we said, physical disability. Family went through a very, very big trauma of losing a mother. And here you are. Look at you.
Which sometimes also people in next to Shidduch, oh, Lord, he's a Yassim, he probably doesn't know.
And they're looking and saying, you're the hero to all those people. What would you tell all those people? watching or listening, who have their disabilities and their challenges.
Because it's hard, because like the one hand, like I understand where they're coming from, like, am I ever going to get married? But now that this happened to me, it's kind of like, oh, like, God will take care of you. You don't have to worry about Shadchanim. And I'm going to say this, and I don't care. Because Shadchanim are not God. Can I say that?
You certainly could say it.
Shadchanim don't decide who gets married and who doesn't. I'm sorry. They don't.
Could I just explain what you think? Shadchanim are not God, I agree. Shadchanim are people of tremendous compassion, tremendous dedication, tremendous achrayas to Klal Yisrael, many of whom could be doing a lot of other things with the amount of time, energy, and effort, and making a lot more money and a lot more appreciation, and they choose to do this. That said, there's no middleman between you and the Rebbeinu Shalom, and he is the one who is Mesafik Zivugim, and Racham V'Chanan is the Metzias. Go with that.
You're correct. You
if you want to make t-shirts,
you're the writer.
That say, yeah. Shadchanim are not God, and sell them on your YassiHeft.com website.
Please don't.
It's yours. I'm not taking your line.
I'm not saying.
I'm saying you're telling this 14, 15-year-old, 16-year-old boy, girl sitting at home, listening, watching, and they're dealing with whatever they're dealing with. You're telling them.
I'm telling them that I saw firsthand, and I can prove it to you because people were by my wedding, and the wedding was a lot of people there, and the wedding happened. And I'm married now, so it's proof, it's a riot, the brura, you don't see more Yad Hashem there.
Ask you, and maybe as we wind down, maybe it's an awkward question, but our relationship thrives on awkwardness.
Correct.
Azad Shavu Brachas. Your Shavu Brachas hosted by our friend Avi Zafir, the aforementioned.
You said Zafir.
I said Avi Zafir.
You said Zafir.
I'm the interviewer here. You're just the guest. And I happened to come in together with the Chasen Kala at the same time. It was in Manhattan. And I realized something interesting. I thought I picked up on something. The wheelchair, your new wife was taking it out of the car and got like a little stuck. And she got it up calmly. She had that smile and that calm. You said, Rebbeinu Shalom, please, I remember you were sitting in the chair. You said, Rebbeinu Shalom, please, let this work. You were davening and came in and walked in. This is the way I called it. I'm not a marriage counselor or analyst. Your identity for a long time was your disability, and she was choosing another path. We're normal people. You happen to be disabled, you don't. She's not running with that. She's not running with YassiHecht, celebrity, right? You know, we tease each other a lot.
Right.
But we're running with YassiHecht, normal person who happens to have a disability, and we're going with it.
That's correct, 100%.
And that's a decision you made together? That means?
It's not a decision. It's natural. If someone likes me for the person I am, then of course that's going to happen.
Then it's the person where that's important, not the disability and not...
So you have a wheelchair. The wheelchair is just the way that you have to get from place A to place B. The wheelchair is not you. I'm not a wheelchair. I'm a person that has emotions, that has, you know...
Adequate sense of humor, mediocre sense
of humor. Mediocre. That, you know, tries to do stuff, tries to learn, tries to dive in. I have, you know, happens to be the wheelchair has given me a sense of achrayus that I carry and a sense of that it has allowed me to try to hopefully bring inspiration and try to mechazik people. Maybe that has allowed me to do that, but that's not who I am. That's not, happens, you know, it's a very,
no, but
maybe you could articulate what I'm trying to say about it.
I think that you articulated it beautifully and I love what you said, that she married you for the person you are, not for the wheelchair and the celebrity of YassiHecht, the person YassiHecht, so she just wants the person YassiHecht. That said, and you just said something so important, I want to end with this question. Obviously, there comes an achrayus if the Rebbeinu Shalom put you in this situation to pass on the favor and try to help others and use the things you've learned along the way. So I would end off, I know that you're still in Shana Rishayna and you're in Kail, but you must have dreams of what you're going to do for the Jewish people next. This is my final question. What's next for YassiHecht?
What's next for YassiHecht is that we are starting one of the most amazing organizations, Klal Yisrael, called the RCCS, Refi Chalim Cancer Society, who deals with a lot of, you know, taking care of healthcare insurance premiums and dealing with, doctor referrals, which my mother and myself both were recipients of. But then I said, let's take what I learned from the Asher Yatzar stuff with making videos, which is mechazik people, and taking what RCCS does for healthcare, what the health, you know, just the health of the person, why not take care of the emotional, take care of the chizuk part? So we're met Hashem, Belina there, with the Abish, obviously you see that Hashem's in charge, and with his help, we got it approved to start this new project called Project Somech. Why? Because my mother Zavaya, I said, if you're Somech, Rabbi Feiner told me a vart, that if you're Somech on Hashem, it would be besimcha, because this Shem Shofar Hirsch says it's phonetic cognitions, that you could Somech Simcha, Rabbi Mishal Wilson brings it down, that in Emunah Sitacha, that if you're Somech on Hashem, it would be besimcha. If you're Netzav, why are you Netzav? Why are you depressed? Because you're Netzav from Hashem. So if you're Somech, so therefore, if we're Somech on Hashem, it would be besimcha. So Project Somech is a, we're hopefully, in Emet Hashem, going to launch, you know, within the coming weeks, months, to, you know, bring these cancer patients, give them simcha, give them chizuk from speakers, from, are you considered a speaker, or?
Like probably a BC-list speaker.
BC-list.
Somebody called me recently to come to an event, like 2 days later in Chicago. I said, who canceled? And it was like, I'm quiet.
So we're trying to get speakers just to give this chizuk, you know, and Meret Hashem.
To deal with the emotional, the sin part of Simech.
Correct.
Not just the administrative end.
Correct.
But the emotional component as well.
That's hopefully our
hopes
and Meret Hashem, you know, moving on to vacations for the patients to give them chias. And this is kind of, you know, a legacy that my mother created that I want to infuse with for the future of the patients.
That's all the time. Thank you for taking the time to come in. Okay. It's a pleasure to sit with you on air and off air. Yosef Chaim Ben Dvar Eliya. We should continue to hear good news and share good news and see you doing great things.
Amen. Thank you
Mwah.
So much.
Mwah.
Dear Hashem, thank you for every moment of my life, the wonders and the strife I say. Thank you today. I believe, for all the air I breathe, I say, thank you.